بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته اتباع ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورفعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. We are starting the series of Adl, that means justice, classes today onwards, inshallah. And there will be, inshallah, 8 lessons like we had about the Tawheed subject. And after the lessons, like you know already, there will be 10 to 15 minutes question and answers as usual. So these lessons are prepared for an audience of kind of middle level, and like you may know to some extent. Of course, there are some certain teachings which are quite complex, and which I would not like to enter in the initial discussion or initial stage of our discussion. I would like to say a little bit about those points as a beginning for our respected listeners, and we may discuss a few mainstream points about them. And the purpose of this discussion is to cover all the necessary mainstream points regarding this fundamental Islamic belief of justice regarding God, so that everybody knows why is it important and what exactly do we believe when we say that God is just. First of all, Usuluddin, the fundamentals of the religion, the roots of the religion, are defined to be those beliefs of Islam. If denied, if any of those is denied, the religion shatters and collapses, and nothing remains from the religion. So that's why they are considered to be the usul and the roots. Usul in Arabic means the roots. It's a plural from the asl, and asl in Arabic means root. So respect it, the religion is resting on these roots of this. So, Adl is one of those five fundamental Islamic beliefs. If God is not considered to be Adil, and we stop considering Adl and justice in our fundamental beliefs, it would be possible to accept that God may perform an evil, qabih, unacceptable, intellectually unacceptable, condemned or evil action anytime. And as soon as this possibility comes in, the whole religion would collapse. Because if God can perform any evil or condemned action, which is condemned intellectually by the intellect of every human, then there shall be nothing remaining in the entire religion to follow. So, Adl is considered to be one of the five fundamentals. And God has this attribute in His essence. God is Adil. The question arises before we go further into the details of this belief. Why is the justice and Adl only chosen to be part of the five fundamental beliefs, although God has so many attributes? And we discussed the subject of the attributes of Allah in the Tawheed class, that His attributes are actually uncountable. And then we have 1,000 in the dua of Jawshan al-Kabir mentioned there, and then we have the 99 famous names of Allah, and that the Holy Prophet has said, whosoever does the ihsa, that means whosoever, in other words, practices those names and implements those names in his spirituality and becomes the reflection of those names, will enter the paradise. And then we have those 73 Al-Asma, Al-Uzma, Ism A'zam, the greatest names. And likewise, every single particle in the universe is His ayat and sign and mazhar and reflection. So names of God are uncountable, but why have we chosen justice to be one of the five fundamentals? Why not His rahmat and mercy? Why not His karam? Why not He is kareem, He is qayyum, He is hay, He is living, He is alive, and so many other attributes of Allah. So there are four fundamental reasons which I would like to mention here. The first is that a lot of attributes of Allah return back to the Adl and justice of God. So the Adl and justice attribute, the attribute of justice, has a special importance as compared to the rest of the attributes of God. So this special importance gives it the opportunity to be included in the five fundamentals. And Hakim, God is all wise, He is Hakim, this returns back to His justice. Because we will know after a few moments, inshallah, the meanings of the word Adl literally, and what are the possible meanings for this word. So we will discuss that in detail, inshallah. Adl actually means to put every place, everything on its appropriate place where it deserves to be put. So when we say God is all wise, He has the wisdom. So this returns back to the fact that He is just, since He puts everything where it deserves to be put, and according to what is appropriate. So this sifat of God, this attribute of God, that He is all wise, has to get back to the attribute of justice. Likewise, we say God is Razak, He provides the sustenance to all. And this also gets back to His Adl. He provides as much sustenance wherever, whenever, to whomsoever is appropriate, and whatever is just to provide, which returns back to the justice of God. And likewise, His Rahmat, He's Rahman, He's all-merciful and beneficent, and He's Rahim, which has, He's again all-merciful. So these attributes of mercy and Rahmat of Allah also return back to the fact that God is just. That's why He provides His mercy to whomsoever He finds appropriate, and whenever and wherever. And there are two kinds of mercy which are represented by the two kinds of attributes. Rahman is what we say is ismun khas bisifatin amma. It's a specific name of God. That means it's not okay and it's not permissible in Islam to name anybody, any person as Rahman. So it's only Allah who can be called Rahman. So that's why it's called Ismul Khas. It's a specific name of God. So none other than Allah can be named with Rahman. It's not permissible in Islam. So it's called Ismul Khas. It's a specific name of God. And the Sifatun Amma, but its inclusiveness, it is such that it includes everything. So which means that God, by virtue of being Rahman, provides His all-inclusive mercy to every creature and every organism and every existence. So it's all-inclusive. So He's providing His mercy to the believers and the non-believers, both to the animals, to the plantations, to the immovable existences, jamadat, to the nabatat, the plantations, to the haywanat, to the animals, to the insan, humankind, to the angels, to the prophets and the messengers and the imams, and to everything in the universe. He's providing His endless mercy. But when it comes to Rahim, it's ismun am bisifatin khassa. It's a name which is general in its application. That means you can name anybody, any human can be named as Rahim. There's no restriction about that. But bisifatin khassa. But the application of this name is restricted. That means God is merciful. That means this kind of special mercy, which is referred to in the word, in the name Rahim, this kind of specific mercy which is represented by the name Rahim of Allah, merciful of Allah, this kind of mercy is not all inclusive for every kind of organism and existence. In fact, rather this name and this mercy is specific to mu'mineen and the believers only. And which I do not to enter into the whole detail of these two names, but I'm just giving certain indications so that I can explain what I'm coming to, that point of adl and justice. So God is providing the all-inclusive general mercy because it's just to provide that all-inclusive general kind of mercy to every existence, and that's part of His justice. That's why He's doing that. And God is providing His special blessings to His special people like the believers, because again it's His justice to provide that special blessing to the special people, not just to everybody. So like I was saying in the beginning, that a lot of attributes of Allah, our scholars say that a lot of attributes of Allah actually return back to the fact that He is just. So this attribute that is just, being just and adil, is enjoys a special importance among the rest of the attributes of God. And this special importance is the reason why, why we find that Adl has been included in the five fundamental Islamic beliefs. The second reason why Adl is included is that the Ma'ad and Qiyamah concept also is resting on the belief of justice and Adl. Ma'ad means the day of returning back. Qiyamah means the day of the uprising, the day of the when the people would be resurrected. So the day of resurrection concept of Islam, which is one of the five fundamentals again, also rests on the concept of his justice. God is supposed to provide a day of resurrection and justice and day of judgment where justice is provided to everybody because he's just. God is supposed to provide the day of judgment and resurrection because he's just. God is supposed to send down his messengers and imams and prophets and reveal his revelations and send down his books on his messengers because he's just. He cannot leave the humanity without a contact with the unseen world. He cannot leave his people, his servants, without a list of do's and do nots that the prophets and the imams who are the representatives of God, they are the ones who are supposed to provide the do's and do nots and all the teachings. So holding any human accountable or sending any human to heaven or hell without informing him what he's supposed to do is against the justice. So because God is just and he never performs anything which is unjust, that's why he's supposed to send down all the prophets and all the messengers and all the imams and the books and the teachings which are included in those books and the Sharia which is explained by those messengers in detail. So that's all because God is just. Otherwise, holding anybody accountable on the Day of Judgment, resurrecting the people and sending them to heaven or hell, rewarding them or punishing them would all be unjust. So we have to accept that God is just in order to accept that there is a Day of Resurrection. And actually, one of the evidences about believing in the Day of Resurrection is that God is just. That's why he has to provide us a day of resurrection, a day of judgment, where we are rewarded. So the second reason is that we believe in the day of judgment and resurrection, and that concept of Islam rests on the concept that God is just. So that's why this concept is of fundamental importance. So it needs to be included in the five fundamental Islamic beliefs. That's the second reason. The third reason is that there is a controversy among certain sects of Islam about the belief of Adl and justice. The Twelver Imamiyya sect of Islam, who believes in the 12 Imams, the Twelver Isna Ashari sect of Islam, we are also referred to in the books of Islamic beliefs. We call the knowledge of belief as Ilmul Kalam in Arabic, or Ilmul Aqaid. So in the knowledge of Kalam, Ilmul Kalam, that means in the knowledge of Islamic beliefs, our Twelver Isna Ashari sect of Islam is referred to as Al-Firqatul Adliya or Al-Imamiyya, that we are the one who actually believe in the Adl of Allah. So we are actually called Al-Adliya because of the justice belief that we have. So there is a controversy among certain sects of Islam who our Twelver Isna Ashari community believes that God is just, whereas there are certain sects like the Asha'ira who deny the adl and justice concept of God. Another sect, which is called Mu'tazila, actually believes in the similar, shares the same similar belief like we have as far as the basic concept of believing in the justice of God is concerned. Mu'tazila shares the similar viewpoint with the Ithna Ashari Twelver Shia sect. So we both are on one side, whereas the Asha'ira sect is on the other side. So these sects that we are mentioning to you, let's be very clear that they are sects in the Islamic world, in the fiqh and in the rulings of Islamic jurisprudence. Like we have the Hanafi sect, we have the Maliki sect, we have the Shafi'i sect, so on and so forth. These are the sects related to the Islamic jurisprudence in the practical laws of Islam, or the branches of the religion, like we call the Furu'ud-Din. These are the sects related to the rulings and ahkam of Sharia in the branches of the religion. And what we are talking about right now are the sects related to the belief system of Islam. There are sects in Islam about the belief system as well. And that's what we are talking about right now, not the sects related to the Islamic jurisprudence and the Furu'ud-Din, about the rulings of the Islamic Sharia. We are talking about the belief system. So in the belief system we have three major divisions. One is called the Asha'ira, which we would learn later on about that. Let's not go in further details about those sects and miss out the main subject. The second major sect is Mu'tazila, about the belief system. And the third one is the Twelver Ithna Ashari, which is also called Adliya and Imamiya. It's also called Imamiya sect. So these are the three mainstream sects, three major sects as when it comes to the belief of Islam. So right now we are talking about the belief divisions and controversies. So ours is called the Adliya because we believe in the justice of God, and Mu'tazila sect also shares the same viewpoint about the justice of God in the fundamental meaning of the justice. And Asha'ira is the one that differs with both of us, and they believe that God is not just, and they have mentioned, it is mentioned in their belief, in their books, and that God can perform, a justice and injustice, justice and cruelty, adl and zulm has no meaning when it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has no meaning. If God wishes, He can send all the messengers into the hellfire, if He wishes to do so, and all the good doers to the hellfire. What to talk of the good doers when the messengers can be sent to the hellfire? What to talk of the ordinary good doers? So God can send all the messengers to the hellfire, and if He wishes to do so, and He can send all the evil people to the heaven if He wishes to do so. So there's nothing to believe about adl and justice of God. It's up to the wish of Allah. And justice and injustice, it's all the same for Him. It has no meaning. It has no meaning. So whatever God does is justice, and it's okay, and it should be it should be considered as justice, whether it is justice or not in the eyes of the intellect. This is how they believe. And we will come to a little bit further detail about that in the same series of justice lessons, inshallah, because this is a very important discussion about justice, and it will arrive in further detail. So the reason, the third reason why we have included adl and justice in the belief, five fundamental beliefs of Islam, is that there are certain significant number of people available in the Islamic community who believe in the belief system of Asha'ira, and they deny the fact that God is just, and they believe things which are unjust and condemned in the eyes of intellect to believe in. And in order to make it clear before them and distinguish our belief from theirs, we have to bring this adl concept into our fundamental belief system, so that we are obvious and we become distinguished from what false thing they believe in, so that we distance ourselves and distinguish ourselves from their falsehood, their belief which is based on falsehood. That's the third reason of including the adl and justice in our belief system. The fourth reason, which our scholars have mentioned about this justice attribute of God being considered as the fundamental belief of Islam, is that Islam is a religion that very strongly promotes social justice. Every category of existence and every category of humans in the society are supposed to be provided appropriate justice that it deserves. Unless everybody is provided a justice, the society is never going to survive with peace and dignity. And not just to the humans, but even to the animals and plantations and the immovable existences like the stones and the sand and soil and all those categories of existences that fall in the immovable category like the jamadat. Islam is fully supportive of providing justice and adl to every existence, and on top of every existence the humans, in order to establish a peaceful and dignified society. And Islam supports the establishment of justice in the whole world. And that's how, at Islam, we believe that that's how the whole humankind would survive with peace and would be able to fight the oppression. Otherwise, if the justice is not provided to the whole set of existences, especially the human society, the society will never prosper. So this sort of importance given about the implementation of justice in the human society, and this kind of importance given by Islam to install social justice in the whole world, signifies the importance of justice concept of Allah, about Allah, that God is just, and the justice and the importance to the justice given by God and Quran. So this importance makes it the fourth reason why we have included the justice to be part of the five fundamental beliefs of Islam. So these were the four major reasons. And now coming to the meaning of the word adl, that means justice. The first meaning of the word adl and justice, literally speaking, is وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَحَلِّهِ, putting a thing in its own place, where the thing deserves to be put, wherever it is suitable to be put, wherever it is balanced to be put. This kind of meaning about justice, putting everything on its deserving place, appropriate place, where it deserves to be put and placed, this meaning is true for the whole universe and all what is in it. So, and that's the meaning which is referred to in the famous hadith and tradition of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he has mentioned in his statement that bil adl qamat as-samawat wal ard, it's through the justice that the heavens and earth are standing up. So the whole universe is actually surviving, standing up straight and surviving because of justice. Because everything is placed where it deserves to be placed. Everything is put where it was appropriate to be put. Every single particle of this universe, every plant is being sowed and raised, and every stone is placed where it was deserving, where it deserves to be placed. Every human was created when he was created, where he was sent, in which family, in which household, with whatever situation he was sent. Every single messenger, every angel, every planet, everything was created, was placed, was sent, was installed, was established how it deserves to be placed and put and established and installed. Because God is just. And He puts everything where it deserves to be put. That's the first meaning, and that is what is meant in the hadith of the Holy Prophet, where he has said that the heavens and earth are standing out of adl and justice. And you look at the organisms, and we have studied a little bit about that in the Burhan al-Nazm, in the evidence about God that regarding the fact that everything in the universe is well organized, if you recall, those of you brothers and sisters who were there. So we mentioned a little bit about that. Everything is on its place. Everything is placed in a balanced and proper way, in a very well-organized, well-planned, well-thought-of way. Look at the distance between Earth and Sun. How balanced God has put it. Even if Earth is moved, let's suppose, 20,000 miles away, from further away from the Sun, possibly all the creatures on Earth will be destroyed momentarily or in a few moments out of the cold. Look at the distance between the Earth and the Sun, and look at the distance between the Moon and the Sun, and the Moon and the Earth, and the moons of different planets, and how there is the gravitational pull. Let's suppose that the gravitational pull of Earth is decreased. How can we live? How can we construct our houses? How can we walk? There are so many things. The more you ponder, the more you think about the existences of God, you would find every single particle and existence in the universe is placed, well placed, is placed where it deserves to be placed, and put in a very balanced and very deserving and very appropriate way. So, this is the adl of Allah, because He puts everything on its place. And that's the first meaning of justice. The second meaning of justice, and the word adl and justice, is that mura'at al-huquq, mura'at al-wajib, الحقوق الواجبة. That means taking care of the necessary duties towards the people and avoiding any injustice and zulm and cruelty and oppression towards them. Taking care of the حقوق and rights of the people. That means that somebody who is just, is not, according to the second meaning, is not going to give anybody's rights, snatch anybody's right, and is not going to usurp anybody's right for himself. That means he's not going to take anybody's right for his own self, nor he is going to take anybody's right and give it to someone else other than himself, nor he is going to do any discrimination in the sense that he would, that he provides the rights to some while he denies the rights to some others. These are all the three possible things that fall in the second meaning of adl and justice. I would repeat the three possible meanings. Someone who is just is not going to take away or usurp the right of someone else and take that thing for himself, his own self. Second of all, he is not going to take the right from someone and give it to someone else. Instead of giving it to himself, he would also not, neither he is going to give somebody's right to him, his own self, nor he's going to give that right to someone else. That's the second meaning, that he's not going to give to someone else. And the third meaning is that he's not going to discriminate while giving the rights, that while he's ready to give the rights, but he's going to give to some while he's not ready to give the rights to some others. That's the third meaning. And God is just in all those meanings. So he never spoils the right of anybody, any existence. Second of all, he never takes the right from some and give it to someone else. The second meaning. The third meaning, he does not discriminate while giving the rights. That means he does not give the right to some of the existences while he deprives the rest of the existences of the rights. All three the meanings about the justice are true. All the three sense of the explanation of the second meaning of justice are true about God. So God is just in the first meaning of justice, putting everything on its place where it's appropriate and just and balanced and deserving. And God is just in the second meaning of justice as well, which includes the three meanings how I explained. I hope there's no ambiguity. So, because God is just, he is never going to punish a good doer, and he is never going to encourage a bad doer. He's not going to treat a good doer and a bad doer alike. And he's never going to treat a believer and a disbeliever alike. So good and bad has to be dealt with in a different way, in an appropriate way, because he's just. Because injustice is condemned in the eyes of intellect and aql. And let me clarify, there was a question raised by a person, and this hadith is narrated by Sheikh Saduq in Ilal al-Shara'i, his famous book, page number 30. And this hadith, the narrator of this hadith is Abdullah, Abdul Salam ibn Saleh al-Hiravi, who asked from Imam Rida, our eighth Imam, alayhi salam, that لَأَيِّ إِلَّةٍ أَغْرَقَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الدُّنْيَا كُلَّهَا فِي زَمْنِ نُوحِ وَفِيهِمُ الْأَطْفَالِ وَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. Why did Allah drown the whole world in the time of Prophet Noah, while there were children among them and there were people who had no sin. And Imam Rida alayhi salam replied, "Ma kana fihim al-atfal." There were no children among them. لأن الله عز وجل أعلم أعقم أصلاب قوم نوح وأرحم نسائهم 40 عاما. Because Allah did not provide any children in the lineage of that nation of Prophet Noah. In the nation of Prophet Noah, Allah cut the lineage, did not provide any children in the lineage of their men or the wombs of their women for the earlier 40 years before the punishment arrived. So فَغَرَكُوا وَلَا تِفْلَ فِيهِمْ. So they were drowned while there was no child among them. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُهْلِكَ بِعَذَابِهِ مَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. Imam Rida says that Allah never destroys anyone with his punishment, anyone who doesn't have no sin. وَأَمَّا الْبَاقُونَ مِنْ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ. As far as the rest of the people who were drowned from the nation of Prophet Noah are concerned, فَأُغْرِقُوا لِتَكْذِيبِهِمْ لِنَبِيِّ اللَّهِ نُوحٍ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So they were drowned, the rest of the people who were drowned, they were drowned because they denied the Prophet Nuh. And وَسَائِرُهُمْ, and the rest who got drowned along with them, they were actually the ones, أُغْرِقُوا بِرِضَاهُمْ تَكْذِيبَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. They got drowned because they were pleased with the takzeeb and denial of the deniers, of those who disbelieved and denied. There were some people who disbelieved and denied. They were the bigger criminals. And there were the rest of the people in the society who did not denounce them, did not condemn these people, and actually were pleased with their behaviors. So both of them were zalim. Both of them did the zulm and oppression. And both got drowned. And then he gives us a general rule, like usually we find in lots of ahadith and statements of our prophet and imams, at the end they give us a general formula to remember, which can apply in so many instances. Imam Rida says, وَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْ أَمْرٍ فَرَضِيَ بِهِ. Whosoever is not present about any incident or any happening or anything, in other words, whosoever is absent from anything, فَرَضِيَ بِهِ, and he gets pleased with that thing, كَانَ كَمَنْ شَهَدَهُ وَأَتَاهُ. He's considered to be just like the person who witnessed. So we understand, even if a person is born is available 50 years before the Day of Judgment arrives, let's suppose, and he is pleased with the behavior of the people of Prophet Noah, he is actually with them because of his pleasure at his heart. And even if a person is born 50 years before the Day of Judgment, is displeased with the behavior of those evil people in the time of Prophet Noah who got drowned, this person born after thousands and thousands of years after them is displeased with those evil people's behavior, he is eligible to get the sawab of that displeasure. So this is all about the justice of God. So he never drowns anybody who has no sin. He never treats a believer and a disbeliever alike because he's just. And he did not drown anybody who was innocent. So, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Okay. Aga, if you allow me, let me put my question forward. Can everybody hear me? Okay, I think the lecture was very instructive today, Aga. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. I think it gave a very good overview of the topic. Jazakallah khair. My question now relates to history, and I'm in particular interested in the exact time at which Adl, or in fact the whole of the Usul-e-Din of the Shia school, was formalized. Because as we know them today, the Usul-e-Din and the Furu-e-Din cannot be found in any of the Aimma's ahadith directly. They are indirectly spread here and here and there. But you only find this formalization later on, especially, you know, after the issue of Ilmul Kalam between the Ash'aris and the Mu'tazila was being debated, and when Ghazali came forward, and after that we find that Adl was introduced as one of the fundamental beliefs of the Shia. So would you say then that the historical reason is perhaps the most important reason de facto in the reason why Adl is there? That's one. And the other is that it's often said that the main Usul-e-Din are three, Tawheed, Nubuwwat, and Qiyamah. I think you yourself probably also said this when introducing the fundamental beliefs lecture. So if you could clarify that, whether it is Usul-e-Din or Usul-e-Mazhab.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Can you hear me? Okay. Historically speaking, it's something historically we as the mainstream believers in Islam and the teachings of the Holy Prophet, who is the one who taught us the religion Islam and who is the messenger of Islam, we never got disconnected with the real and pure teachings of the Holy Prophet, because we were connected with Imam Ali alayhi salam and the series of our Imams. So as a matter of fact, since the teachings of the Holy Prophet always had Adl in it, so our community was always a believer in that. But I understand your question. Formally, you may say these things were emphasized to a different level of emphasis. It came in the limelight, you can say. It came into the limelight further in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, because these scholars of the Sunni brothers of the Sunni community were all like Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi'i and Imam Malik and Imam Hanbal. All of these four scholars were the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, directly or indirectly. And Asha'ira and Mu'tazila sects started after the lessons of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam were at their peak in Medina. And there were reasons why these kinds of things and teachings were sponsored by the governments and were started. So when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam's teachings became in the limelight, our concepts, which we used to believe in since so many years, since the time of the Holy Prophet, were further emphasized, and there were others who disagreed with the pre-existing justice belief of our side. But our side belief came in the limelight because of their disagreement. So their disagreement brought our belief in the limelight, and we had to further emphasize. That means the followers of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and his students had to further emphasize these things in front of those who started to oppose it. So this caused a clear picture of our side, which was already there, but it was emphasized further by the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in front of those who started to deny it at the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And that's why you find the books that were written or the narrations that inform us about the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam mentions this point in a very clear way. So that's about the first segment of your question. And yes, the second segment of your question is also very much important. We certainly believe in the three fundamental ones, three fundamental Islamic beliefs. And we also believe that we have five fundamental beliefs in Islam. Now, what's the catch here? When we say we believe in the three fundamental beliefs, of course, the fundamental beliefs are three in number. We certainly believe in the Adl of God, no doubt about it, like we certainly believe in the Imamat of the 12 Imams, and no question about it, no doubt about it. Then how can we find a way out? Well, the reason is that, ideally speaking and actually speaking, when we say that we believe in all the attributes of Allah, all the Sifatul Jamal and Sifatul Jalal, Adl is automatically included in that. There was no reason for us to emphasize about Adl specifically if a person is obedient, if a person is intellectual, if a person is ready to follow what the Prophet has taught us, and if a person believes in the justice of God and believes in the importance of this concept about of justice, and believes that God never performs any zulm, and He always puts the things where it deserves and never usurps the rights of nobody. If a person believes it smoothly and easily and obeys, there's no reason to single it out. But we were forced to single it out after there was some in the Muslim community who denied it. So we had to emphasize it, and that also was part of our Nahi Anil Munkar, adjoining the people from some wrong that they were doing and stopping them from some wrong that they were doing. It was part of our strategy to stop them from their wrong belief and inform the masses that their path is wrong and this is the right path of the Holy Prophet. So we had to emphasize this later on. Otherwise, we used to believe in, like we believe in any other attribute of Allah, and we used to give importance to justice, the importance that it deserves to be given. Yes, it enjoys a lot of importance, no doubt. But that high level of importance was already given by us even before. We have to single it out because of that importance, plus because of the denial of some, to straighten them up about their behavior. And fundamentally, Imamat thing, so Adl as an attribute of Allah is included among all the rest of the list of attributes of God. And Imamat, which is one of our basic Islamic beliefs, is automatically included in the belief of Nubuwwat. Because how? Because Imamat actually is an extension, an imtidadun Nubuwwah. It's an extension of the concept of prophethood, because every prophet had a wasi, has a vicegerent and a deputy who used to work in his proxy, whether in his lifetime, like a prophet Harun and for the children of Israel, who passed away in the lifetime of Prophet Musa. Prophet Harun, Aaron, he was the deputy and wasi of Prophet Musa. And when Prophet Musa used to go on the Mount Tur to talk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Harun was the caretaker of the nation in the absence of Prophet Musa, because he was the wasi and deputy of Prophet Musa. And after the demise of Prophet Aaron, it was Yusha bin Nun, what we call Joshua, who was the deputy. So what I was saying is that every prophet had a deputy. It's nothing new. And accepting the deputy is an understood thing for everybody who accepts the prophet in the real sense. And that is true about our 12 Imams as well. But again, there came some people in the Muslim community who disagreed and disbelieved in the 12 Imams, although they are mentioned in the Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih and which is one of the most authentic books in the Islamic world, which is considered to be one of the most authentic books in the Islamic world. The Prophet has already said about the 12 Imams. But unfortunately, even though Sahih Bukhari says it, and an abundant amount of other books have said it about the 12 Imams, there are some in the Muslim community who did not believe. So we have to emphasize it further to make it clear for them and bring them to the Nahi and al-Munkar and bring them to the right path of the Holy Prophet. Otherwise, ideally and really speaking, Imamat is nothing but an extension of the Prophet, and he continues the job of the Prophet in the same fashion, without receiving the revelation directly. That's the difference between the Prophet and the Imam, that he Imam does not receive the revelation, instead he receives the ilham.
Thank you very much, Agha. It's quite clear now. Very detailed answer. Any other questions from anyone else? Okay, Agha, I have one more question. I heard in a majlis, and as you know, in many majalis you hear majlisi fiqra, which sometimes do not have 100% corroboration with the Quran and Hadith sometimes. And the jumla was that that Satan was banished from heaven and was... or Iblis was made Satan and punished by God in a way that he was because he did not believe in the justice of Allah, and that was his major crime. His belief in the Day of Judgment was there, his belief in Tawheed was there, his belief in all the attributes of God was there, but the only problem was he did not believe in the justice of Allah because he doubted the fact that Allah made him from fire and Adam from clay, and since fire in his opinion was superior to clay, God was being unjust by asking him to bow before somebody who was made from clay. Now, I think intellectually it seems quite appealing to me, but I just want to be sure whether such a line of argumentation has been adopted before as well in Shia Imami faith. Thank you.
Iblis. First of all, Iblis. It's not correct for someone to say that God made him such. He was. He became, and he was such himself by his own free will and choice, that he disobeyed and of course became expressed his kufr and denial to God and his command. So of course he became Iblis himself. And second of all, yes, his statement that he made before God makes it clear that he is challenging God's adl and justice. So yes, he will be counted as someone who denies the justice of God. That's true. Second of all, what he denied was also the command of Allah. So just denying the justice, cannot be just singled out. Denial of the justice of God actually equals to the denial of God in the true sense, because a zalim and oppressor God is no God. So actually he denied God. Third of all, he denied the imamat and walayat, which is a very important aspect, because Prophet Adam was the Khalifa of mazhar and reflection of the names of Allah, and he was made a khalifa for the humanity, And so somebody who denies the imamat and khilafat and walayat is, in the real sense, he deserves to get that kind of treatment. That was another problem what Iblis did, because he was not ready to accept Adam as the Khalifa and Imam over himself. So he considered himself to be superior, which reveals his takabbur and arrogance. And takabbur is the sin which is not accepted by God even for a moment. So he not just denied the justice, he not just denied the imamat and walayat and khilafat concept, he also actually denied Tawheed in the real sense, because these things get back to the same point. And practically, of course, by disobeying the command out of takabbur, this again amounts to the kufr of Allah. I hope it's clear.
Yes, it's very clear. Thank you very much. This was a confusion that I had long lingering in my mind, but now I think it's quite clear that the denial of the justice of Allah was a part of the overall, set of crimes, set of sins that he committed. There was the takabbur, there was the inkar of khilafa, and there was also kufr because he disobeyed the command of Allah. Thank you very much. If there are any other questions, the speaker has his hand raised. I'll give way, obviously.
I just wanted to add one point to that, because it's a very certainly a very detailed discussion and very tough discussion as well, because and we find in some of our ahadith it has been clearly told by by our Ma'soom Imam that even the sajda that he was commanded to do was that's the mazmoon of riwayah, kana lillahi ubudiyatan, it was for the ubudiyat of Allah, wa ta'zeeman wa ikraman lana, and it had ta'zeem and ikram and respect and honor for us, likawnina fi sulbihi, because we were in the sulb of Adam. So again, this statement of the Imam again takes us to the point that Iblis, when he is denouncing the sajda and disobeying the command of God to do the sajda for the obedience of God and for the ubudiyat of Allah, he is actually also denouncing the walayat and imamat, because Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam were in the sulb of Prophet Adam. So it's about the walayat and imamat. And anybody who denounces the walayat and imamat plus the adl, actually he denounces tawheed in the real sense. So it is about adalat and imamat, plus, like I said, it's a denial of tawheed as well, and plus it's takabbur. So it's a thing which is a multi-prong, it has several things which gathered together. Thank you.
If you would like to participate in these online lecture series, please visit www.al-asr.org.